Let's open our Bibles today. We're going to eventually get to Revelation 13. I have kind of a two-part message today, or two messages in one, or maybe a doubleheader. Probably by now, we are all familiar, well familiar, with the Apostle Paul's statement in 2 Timothy 3, verse 1, where Paul says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." And I believe we also understand that we are now in those days. There have been many perilous days throughout the centuries, throughout the Christian era. I think right now, today, is a very perilous time for Christians and for the world in general. As I stated before, I don't want my sermons to be known as current events updates, but for today, many events are taking place almost every week that as pastor I feel are important enough for me to make sure that we all know about and that we understand from a biblical perspective. And I have two such events to talk about today before bringing a short doctrinal exhortation in closing. One of those involving a very credible report that came out this past week of the Israeli Defense Forces, the IDF's, killing many of its own people last October 7th during its response to the Hamas raid outside of Gaza. Before going there, however, I suspect by now that we've also all heard by now about yesterday's attempted assassination of Donald Trump and his campaign rally in Butler, Pennsylvania. Last such rally to be held before the RNC convention this next week. Mary and I were actually watching the event live on Fox News as it took place. And we're rather shocked indeed, were we not? It's one thing to hear about such events after the fact, but it's quite another to watch the event unfold on a live TV broadcast. Trump was looking to his far right as several shots rang out, five shots actually. Trump then put his hand to his right side of his head and went down. To be quickly covered in a huddle of Secret Service personnel who finally stood Trump up, blood being plainly visible around his right ear as he waved his fist in the air to signal that he was okay, as he was rushed to a nearby armored vehicle and then taken to the hospital. Apparently, Trump was treated at the hospital and then released. Reports are that a bullet pierced his right ear. I suspect there are probably better ways to get a pierced ear. But of course, I wouldn't know personally. It's also been reported that two other men were shot, one receiving a fatal head wound. The shooter was reportedly perched on the roof of a nearby warehouse, less than 200 yards or so from Trump's podium, identified as 20-year-old Thomas Matthew Crooks from Bethel Park, Pennsylvania, near Pittsburgh. Not long after shooting, a BBC reporter interviewed a man named Greg Smith, who was partying with some friends and family members outside the fenced rally area and who with his friends actually saw Thomas Crooks crawling up the slightly pitched roof of the warehouse with a rifle. And he said that he and his friends were calling out to nearby police and SS personnel, Secret Service that is, as opposed to the Nazi Schutzstaffel, but serving the same purpose, calling out and pointing to the man for 3 to 4 minutes before five shots rang out, after which police quickly neutralized the shooter. One report said they blew his head off. Many questions are flying around about how on earth the SS let this happen. One man commented as follows on X, formerly Twitter, of course. "When Clinton was president, I saw him give a speech at Cal State Northridge. It was the most security I've ever seen. Every building had snipers and observers scanning the crowd. The fact that this guy had the high ground was not an accident. The fix was in," this guy says. That point being made on Fox News this morning also, by the way, as the question is being asked, why didn't the SS, Secret Service, have snipers and watchers posted on every nearby roof? Of course, all the ever-loving evangelical Trumpers will agree with former Trump advisor Steve Bannon, who praised Trump from his jail cell. He's in jail right now, saying Donald Trump wears the armor of God. To which I'd say, I don't know for sure, but I would guess that Steve Bannon has never even read Ephesians chapter 6 and has no earthly idea what the true armor of God really is, I would definitely say that Donald Trump does not wear the armor of God, because to do so, one has to be a born-again child of God.
Amen.
And from public statements Donald Trump has made, well, he relishes and wallows in the sloppy support he gets from evangelical pseudo-Christians. Donald Trump, at best, is instead an unregenerate, reprobate child of the devil, even though he has now said to his adoring supporters, "Fear not, it was God alone who prevented the unthinkable from happening." Who, by the way, is getting a lot of mileage, Donald Trump getting a lot of mileage out of this event, has now gained, of course, national hero status in many more eyes than before the event. As evidence of that, I mentioned that last March, multi-billionaire entrepreneur Elon Musk announced that he was not donating to either the Biden or Trump campaigns. But after yesterday's assassination attempt, Musk has reportedly made what is described as a, quote, sizable donation to America PAC, which is the political action committee aimed at electing former President Trump. Musk posted a message of his own to X claiming that Donald is the most courageous presidential candidate since Teddy Roosevelt. Britain's Reform Party leader and Brexit champion, Nigel Farage, is flying out to America to support Donald Trump following the assassination attempt. UK Prime Minister Sir Starmer led international condemnation of the shooting, saying he was appalled by the shocking scenes of President Trump's rally. Mike Pence, former VP, Trump's VP, and his wife said they're praying for his former ally, adding that he urged every American to join us. Canadian leader Justin Trudeau, communist Canadian leader Justin Trudeau, said he was sickened by the shooting at former President Trump. Some Republicans were quick to blame Jesuit Joe Biden for the shooting, accusing him of stoking fears about Trump's potential return to office, destroying our democracy. Senator J.D. Vance, rather impressive guy, thought to be on the short list to become Trump's vice presidential candidate, said the rhetoric from the Biden campaign had led directly to this incident. Republican Congressman Mike Collins accused the Biden administration of inciting an assassination. James Comer, who is the chair of the powerful House Oversight Committee, has summoned the director of the Secret Service to appear before his panel in a week or so. Of course, it is possible, remotely possible in my opinion, that Donald Trump really does love America, has good intentions, as all the ever-Trumpers do believe. Now, he was just deceived and misled by the neocon swamp monsters that he picked for his cabinet advisors during his first presidency, which would explain why he just innocently reneged and flip-flopped on almost every campaign promise made in 2016. And so in that event, it is possible, I suppose, that the event took place exactly as being reported by Fox News. Someone very high up actually ordered the American SS to stand down to let this happen. Perhaps that's remotely possible. Which is done, of course, because Donald Trump is such a force for good, and he's such a threat to Biden's globalist agenda that he cannot be allowed back in the White House. That God intervened, thank God, to spare the life of America's only hope for salvation and resurrection. Maybe that's possible. Think that's possible, PJ?
No.
No. As one who watched the event unfold on live TV, I would like to offer the suggestion for consideration. Aside from Thomas Matthew Crooks getting his head blown off, this was, in fact, a staged event, perhaps. I point out that no blood could be seen on Trump's face until he stood up and started shaking his fist. Shots rang out. Trump put his hand to his side of his head, and he ducked down for cover. So I would suggest for consideration the possibility that this was done as a publicity stunt to enhance Trump's supernatural hero status in the eyes of the world. But also, since the question has also been posed to me once already, I will say, no, I do not believe this occurrence is fulfillment of the prophecy in Revelation 13, verse 4. We read beginning in verse 1, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was likened unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth is the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wandered after the beast. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? They've expounded on a few times before. Remind us here that the beast pictured here is one and the same as the fourth beast seen in the Old Testament prophet Daniel's vision in Daniel chapter 7, where Daniel says in verse 7 of that chapter, I saw in the night visions. Behold, the fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, and strong exceedingly. And it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue at the feet of it. It was diverse from all beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were 3 of the first horns plucked up by the roots. We'll read about that later in the book of Revelation. Behold, in this horn, the little horn that came up, were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. That little horn is the Antichrist himself, one little horn on the beast. But just as we read in Revelation 13:5, that there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. We read that back here in Daniel as well. The angelic messenger that appeared to Daniel explains that the beast signifies a kingdom or an empire that would rise up. And this beast here is the same in Revelation 13. The context of Daniel 7, combined with similar visions in Daniel 8 and 11, shows us that this is indeed the ancient Roman Empire, began that way, where that displaced the 3 empires that went before it. And then it went through a metamorphosis process through the centuries down to today. The 3 empires that went before this beast were the Babylonian and Medo-Persian empires, and also the Greco-Macedonian Empire of Alexander the Great. We read about those other 3 beast world empires back in Daniel 7. Later in that same chapter, Daniel 7, we also see something very important, which is that the fourth empire, that of Rome, continues in power through the ages, right up to the time the Lord Jesus establishes his millennial kingdom on the earth. We see that in Daniel 7. And then the saints of the Most High take the kingdom. So that, back there in Daniel 7, shows that beast continues through the ages, right up until Jesus comes. John, then, in Revelation 13, describes that very same beast empire as this first beast here in Revelation 13, 1-2. Giving us additional revelation about it, saying it has 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet as the feet of a bear, his mouth as the mouth of a lion. That description, of course, clearly refers to Daniel's vision in Daniel 7, and it shows us that this empire is one and the same as the fourth beast in that chapter, and is also a conglomeration or amalgamation of those first 3 beasts that went before it. It's a global empire, incorporating aspects and territories of all 3 of those first empires. Then we read here, and the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. So this is a thoroughly satanic empire, and it is one and the same as the Roman Empire, which conquered all the territories once held by Alexander the Great, and then some. Then in about the 5th century, became the so-called Holy Roman Empire, with the Pope of Rome, in effect, given ecclesiastical authority over the kings of the earth within its realm for a time, several centuries, in fact, which is why John then sees another vision of this same beast in Revelation 17, where we see a woman riding this beast and holding its reins. The woman seen there, called the Great Whore that sits upon many waters, symbolizes the harlotry system of counterfeit Christianity, known as the Roman Catholic Papacy. John then says in chapter 13 here, verse 3, that he saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death. That one head is not the beast, all right? That one head, I believe, being the Roman Catholic Papacy, who assumed the religious title of Pontifex Maximus from the Caesars that went before him, who some see as the other 6 heads on this beast. Those other 6 heads there being Roman Caesars. As explained before, I still do believe that the fatal head wound here refers to the Catholic papacy having lost, at the time of the Protestant Reformation, the earthly ecclesiastical power it formerly held over the kings of the earth, in particular the kings of Europe, but having since regained, since that time, has regained global popularity, prestige, and great political influence among the nations of the earth through the banking system that it controls. And so this beast, Revelation 13, is in fact the revived Roman Empire that in the last days becomes a global empire, which revived empire is now at the present time being rebuilt through its proxy vassal state, the USA. That's the way I've seen the course of history and how I see these things being fulfilled. The beast has seven heads throughout the course of its existence. And then it also has 10 horns that receive authority to reign with the beast for just a short time. I've seen chapter 17. Those 10 kings are also one of the same as the 10 toes on Nebuchadnezzar's image in Daniel 2 and the 10 horns on the fourth beast of Daniel 7. These 10 other kings are given authority for just a brief time. John calls it 1 hour, signifying a relatively short segment of human history to make war against the Lord Jesus just prior to his return. I personally still believe that these 10 horns represent 10 subdivisions in a last days global revived Roman Empire, such as the 10 global regions called kingdoms by the Club of Rome, one of the many front organizations for the Vatican. That I believe to be the final manifestation of this beast. A global empire, possibly headquartered once again and finally at Rome, and that will take its final form after a coming nuclear exchange, I believe, between Russia, China, and America, causing the world to cry out for global government to end all such wars. And so that, I believe, is the identification of this first beast in Revelation 13. Where we read in verse 4, and they worshiped the dragon which gave power unto the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? Notice here that those that worship the beast, who see their beloved world empire as being all-powerful, they no doubt worship the beast since he feeds them and takes care of them. He provides them with welfare and social security benefits and entitlement programs and farm subsidies and food stamps and stimulus checks. The beast has manifested in different form and fashion since the day it arose prior to Christ's first advent. Through the ages, at varying extents in various times, the beast has oppressed, tyrannized, and made war with the people of God. Of its final form and function, we read here in verse 7, and was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And so to answer the question asked here, who is able to make war with the beast? The answer by God's grace, and as PJ began answering first hour, is that by God's grace and in his power alone, we are able to make war with the beast. In fact, we have to, by the way. The blood-bought, born-again saints of God are not only able to make war with the beast, but we have been called and equipped precisely to do that.
Amen.
As the beast sets out to make war with us by placing demands upon us that would cause us or to compel us to deny the lordship of Christ alone in our lives, we have no choice but to resist.
Right.
So then my opinion is that yesterday's shooting has nothing to do with Revelation 13, whether Donald Trump turns out to be that man of sin that eventually takes rule of the beast picture here or not. And that will do it for today for coverage of Donald Trump's assassination attempt. Moving on then to another recently revealed issue I want to cover today.